You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From Washington to Hollywood and right back to Wisconsin, it's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. Connecting the dots on the stories shaping our world with smart takes, sharp humor, and plenty of personality.
You know, I really expected more professional behavior from you.
It's news and culture without the noise.
Yeah, I'm on!
Here's Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach.
Thanks, Dom. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabe, joined here by my co-host, Mr. Greg Bach, who is in... Now, you're in Racine tonight, right, Greg, at Radio Park?
Yes, I'm usually in Racine 99.989% of the time.
Occasionally, you like to pop over to Phoenix and do the show from there. That's fine.
Yes, but, exactly.
Do you remember where I am?
You are in Christmas City, USA, Marinette,
yes!
Wisconsin.
I knew it!
And then there's the guy in Madison. His name, gosh, what is his name?
Ooh, that was close.
You got this.
The part is right.
I spend so much energy remembering Christmas City, USA that I pushed.
You got nothing left for Dom.
Nothing. Oh, Dom, that's it. Dom.
There it is. Dom. Yep.
Dom Lee.
How's it going, everyone?
Dom Lee.
We are the Otter Hay Triangle, and we are bringing you Nightlight tonight, and it is our pleasure to do so. Thank you for being here, folks. We have a great Tuesday night here in store for you, whether you're driving home or you're already home and, you know, fixing yourself an old-fashioned or whatever it is. Spend a couple hours with us and let us inform and hopefully bring a smile to people's faces. That's what we try to do here, right, Greg?
I absolutely agree. And also, if you want to fix yourself a new-fashioned, go do that. I don't know what that means. It's whatever you mean and whatever you want.
Enjoy. Listen, I think there could be a market for that. You just put a little twist on it, and all of a sudden we're like, you know, we're not tyrants. We're moguls.
Tyrants? Well, there's a fine line between a mogul and a tyrant, so we would want to, you know, walk it gingerly and be careful. But yeah, absolutely. I can feel the money rolling in right now, especially after I just paid a bunch of money to the government. So please, more money. Thank you.
Dude, I would love the opportunity to be a tyrant if I could. I'd like to think I wouldn't be. But if I can make enough money to tell all my friends to beat it and get some new friends, that is living, kid.
I'm sorry, but I just think, Pete, you'd be a terrible tyrant. You're too nice.
Too good a guy. Come
on. You'd say, like, get off my property. Oh, stick around. It's fine. Don't worry about it. You need a soda? You have something to drink? I got stuff in the fridge. It's fine. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in.
That is exactly what I'm like. I'm glad you said that, Greg. You know me so well. So you paid your taxes today, I guess is what you're saying.
Yeah, we did our taxes this past weekend. We actually got a little bit of a refund from the state. We got paid to the federal. And this is actually better than most years. Most years it washes out. Like, we'll either make a little bit of money. And when I say a little, I mean like $14. And we have to pay to the Fed. This year we have to pay. We got a little bit more, which is nice. It goes right into the savings. But they're done. So
that's good. That's a relief.
Yeah. I love paying my taxes when other people don't have to.
You know, I said this recently on the show. Yeah, that sucks. But there were years where if I had a good year and I had to pay more, it hurt. But I still felt somewhat patriotic. I thought,
yes,
this is all going to stuff we need to make our country function. And I didn't really have a problem with that.
As you really shouldn't. I mean, to me,
I don't want to overpay. I'm not saying that.
Well, no, I don't want to overpay either, but there is a fantastic quote from Oliver Wendell Holmes, former Supreme Court justice. He said, taxes are is the price you pay for living in a civilized society.
Exactly.
And it's not advocation for overtaxing. It's not advocating, you know, tax loopholes. It's just simply saying you want to live here and you want to live a quality life. Well, it comes with a certain amount. It comes with a price. On the other side of that conversation, I would say then that our taxes being paid creates a contract between us and our country, and they should do more for us than, say, raise our gas prices and bomb other countries we didn't ask them to. But that's a whole other conversation, friends, because it's Tuesday on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach.
And I just want to put a button on that. The other thing is those T-shirts where people walk around and say taxation is theft. I'm like, well, I can't afford my own police force. or my own roads. So what is the alternative there? I don't understand.
There's never a safe alternative. Privatize everything. That's also a conversation I can get into. Right. If you'd like, that would absolutely ruin the fun of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach.
If I could just say another downer thing.
Cats are the worst. I'm just kidding.
We do have a great show tonight, folks. We've got two great guests. I'm very excited, too, because we're talking. I love that we talk about a lot of show business, that great, and some current events. But we have our first guest, Dr. Donald Shi, DDS. Yes. He is a PhD professor of oral health sciences at the University of Washington. He's going to talk to us about the importance of fluoride, because there has been some pushback and people say it's bad for you. It's not funded. They don't want to. Well, we'll get into all of it with Dr. Chi. And I don't like going to the dentist necessarily, but I'm going to love this conversation.
Yeah. And in the second hour, we're talking to Dr. Susan Kearns, who is the executive director of Milwaukee Film, discussing this week's beginning of the Milwaukee Film Festival starts on Thursday, which brings me to another point. In the second hour, day two of our Win Your Way into the Milwaukee Film Festival Text to Win contest, where you have an opportunity to win an all-access pass to this year's festival. And if you want to know what a great deal it is, stick around in the second hour, because Dr. Susan Kearns talks about what you get when you get an all-access pass to the Milwaukee Film Festival. So make sure you stick around for that. That's coming up in the second hour. And before we get to anything else, really quick, we had Dan Schaefer on the show last night. He is the founder of the Recombobulation Era. He is an editor here at Civic Media. He was going to be having an event this evening at Anodyne Coffee in Walker's Point, Milwaukee, to celebrate 414 Day. Today is April the 14th. It was going to be a big event. They have postponed it due to inclement weather that's coming through that area. So it will not be happening tonight, but they will announce a rescheduled date soon. We just want everyone to be safe. Again, if you are affected by weather right now, I know where I'm living, there is a tornado watch until later this evening. So just make sure you're safe. Make sure you're taking care of yourself. And Look, or stay tuned for the postponement or the rescheduled date for this Recombobulation Area event at Anodyne Coffee.
You can celebrate Milwaukee any day.
Yeah, exactly.
To be safe. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. We are going to, so we've got two doctors on tonight, which is very exciting. I was a solid C student, so I'll bring that to the conversation. And Dom, how are you doing tonight, Dom?
Yeah. I'm doing pretty good. You know, Madison's pretty dark right now. It's the storms are coming, so I'm nervous, but I'm excited. I'm excited for the show. All right. I'm taking that all out. I'm excited for the show.
My grandpa used to say, I think there's going to be weather. That's what you'd say when you thought there was going to be bad weather. Can we make another announcement too right now? I think we should.
Let's do
it. Okay, can I get some timpani for this one, Dom?
Yeah, this is big.
Because Thursday is another edition of the Nightlight Movie Club, and we are about to announce our movie. You can watch it and take part in the conversation, but here is the movie for this Thursday's edition of the Movie Club. Give me the timpanis. Oh, tension. There's tension. When Harry Met Sally is our movie for this week's Movie Club, directed by Mr. Rob Reiner, RIP. We'll be talking about that movie, talking about its history, some trivia, giving our thoughts. So if you haven't watched it, my goodness, but if you haven't, watch it. If you've watched it before, watch it again. Keep up with us. Get a part of the conversation, and we'd love to have you. But that will be the film choice of the Nightlight Movie Club for this week, When Harry Met Sally, this Thursday in the second hour or so.
A great choice. And you got Billy Crystal, Meg Ryan. Mm-hmm. And I'll say this too, Greg, Rob Reiner's mom has a very unique cameo in the film. Yes. So we can talk about that on Thursday as well. But yeah, be part of the fun, folks. Join our movie club. We had a great discussion the last couple of weeks. We did Sandlot and The Gentlemen. And this week, as Greg mentioned, Harry Met Sally. Those are great movies. And that'll be fun Thursday night in the second hour. But I think we should probably get to our Nightlight question of the night. What do you say, fellows?
I agree.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is your favorite game show?
There you go.
There's some classics. There's some newer ones on cable. Yeah. But what game show do you love? Share your favorite game show with us tonight, folks. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC, and let us know what you think. I'm actually excited to share my favorite game show, because I think it's like, I think a lot of people might say Jeopardy, but there's so many good ones.
Yeah, there's lots of great ones. There's one in my head that I don't hope that other. I'll say it regardless. It's like to this day when I see it on TV, I still watch it, even old reruns. So there's actually two, but I will pick between my kids and find my favorite game show.
Awesome. Dom, you got to start thinking too, buddy. I know game shows aren't like as big a thing now as they were, but you got to be part of this. So we'll get to your text throughout the show.
And I like how you prepped Dom. Like, we will ask you a question later. Be prepared.
But I don't think game show, they're not as prevalent. Like they're on cable, it seems like more. There's still some on syndication, the Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy, obviously. But
And now you've got all these, we'll talk about more in the second hour. Because I have I've had some gripes about game shows as well, but we'll get in that a little bit later.
All right, fair enough. We've got a few things going on in the news, though, I think we should probably get to, fellas.
Yes, sir.
This is interesting because we've been talking about this a lot lately about how gas prices are going up, yes. up. Well, tonight, or today, I should say, on NBC News, I read that oil prices might start falling, but that is not a good thing, Greg. And that confused me.
Why not, Pete?
Well, here's what's going to happen. You know, the International Energy Agency said that Tuesday, demand destruction could unfold. I'd never heard that term before, but basically, these would be shortages stemming from the closure of the Strait of Hormuz, and overseas businesses and households will start curbing investment and consumption. I didn't know that.
So basically, I mean, that reminds me sort of like back in the days of the pandemic when, you know, the gas was like 88 cents a gallon because nobody was driving. No one was, I mean, you were using the necessary gas that you needed in your home, but you weren't overusing outside of the house because we weren't going anywhere. And I will say, I mean, the gas prices around my neighborhood did go down 10 cents, which, you know, you can say, well, 10 cents, but that's the difference between a $60 gallon, a $60 fill up, and maybe 58 or 57. And nowadays, I mean, we all know this, every dollar counts. So, but it's not good though, this thing here happening, because when gas prices go down as well, that's also not a great thing either. So this, I mean, it's still, I don't know, Pete, like every day I get up and I see differing stories about this topic around the Strait of Hormuz, the oil, the tankers, who's being blocked, who's not, what's the president saying, what's he saying really, and what will he actually do? So like to me, this story is not, does not make me feel better.
Yeah. And it's not, I guess we don't need to sound the alarm yet in America. Yeah. It says the, according to NBC anyway, it's likely to affect global economic growth, has not affected the U.S. economy, but it could threaten to destabilize an already fragile labor market. I will say this. I have a Toyota Land Cruiser that's kind of old. I love it. I'll probably never get rid of it. We are not driving that thing at all right now because it's got like a 20-gallon tank and 10 cents, coming down 10 cents, that saves us $2.
Yeah.
If we, you know, and I filled it once, I think, since the war started because we don't drive it that much. But no, it's a big deal. And, you know, you'd think people would be excited. I was not familiar with the term demand destruction, though. So there you go.
But neither have I. Neither have I. Guess we'll see. We'll see more as the weeks go on. But yeah, this, you know.
Absolutely. On a lighter note, folks, share with us your favorite game show. That is our question of the night here at Nightlight. When we come back, a certain someone was booed at a certain big event. We're going to tell you all about that because it's one of our news stories, and you'll hear about that next after this very short break. Don't go anywhere. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bob.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, welcome back. I hope you're striking a pose, folks, wherever you are, and I hope it's one of relaxation because we are here to help you relax on this edition of Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwabba, sitting upstate from Greg Bach. Dom Lee is in Madison. Pay attention to the weather, folks. If you are in Madison especially, you said you're still dealing with a watch, Greg, in Racine.
Yes.
But Dom, we've got our eye on you because our senior producer, Tucker, had to go into shelter, and he's not that far away from you. So
yes.
You have
any
information?
It just says the National Weather Service has issued a tornado watch in effect until 10 p.m. right now. I'm just looked it up. It still says tornado watch as of right now where I am currently at, which is downtown Madison. So, but I will stay updated with that as much as possible.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Stay safe, folks. Please regardless of where you are. Yeah. Turn on the news and follow along. This is Nightlight. As I mentioned, we've got a great guest coming up in just a few minutes, folks. Dr. Donald Chi, DDS. He is a PhD and professor of oral health sciences at the University of Washington. We are going to talk to him about supposed bans on fluoride. I didn't know that was a big deal, Greg, but apparently people are trying to ban fluoride. We'll talk to Dr. Chi about that. And then another doctor, Susan Kearns from Milwaukee Film. She's the executive director. Will join us in the second hour to talk about the Milwaukee Film Festival, which kicks off on Thursday. Our question of the night, what is your favorite game show? So text us and be part of the show. There are no right or wrong answers, folks, only your answers. So we've got a couple news stories we got to get to here, Greg.
Yes, we do.
What do you say?
Let's do it.
Go down.
Well, it seems like some of... Donald Trump's biggest fans are starting to turn on him, too. Apparently, this past weekend, he went to a UFC match while there was warring going on and things like that, and people not able to afford food and things like that. He went to Miami for the UFC and then took in some golf the next day. But at this event, there was talk, and it was being reported all over the place, that it was a mixed reaction. People were booing and cheering him, and this is not the first time this has happened. It has happened at football games. It has happened at baseball games. People are not, and the fact that this is being you know, done at a UFC fight in Miami, that's a big deal. We were talking about this yesterday, that people, you know, that picture he posted on Sunday of him as, you know, quote, a Red Cross doctor. His fervent Christian fans not happy about that at all, and we're seeing the breakdown here at various places that he's not popular, and not just the polls saying it, but the people are saying it too.
It's so crazy because to go back to the image of him as Jesus, where he said he claims he thought he was a doctor, he sounds more and more like Michael Scott. He's either never been to the doctor, or he's completely Michael Scotting as well. No. I was a doctor, and because doctors help people, and I help people. It sounded like he was Steve Carell's character on The Office when he tries to talk his way out of this stuff. But the booing, that is deep MAGA. Like, I used to be a huge UFC fan, but it's the fans that are so crazy. Like, I'll still watch highlights occasionally. I do think there's some artistry in martial arts, but I cannot... It's the fans with the affliction shirts. When they're turning on Trump, he's got major problems. And I'm not saying they all are, but I don't think, you know, for them to come out this strongly and boo, and I didn't think the booing was huge, but Dana White got booed, the founder of the UFC, and I don't think he's a good guy either. I think he hit his wife once. That was caught on camera. I don't know why these people are celebrated.
Because but it's there are no consequences, Pete.
Pardon?
There are no consequences. That's why.
Well, exactly. And it's just if you're losing that base, that is a male dominated audience at the UFC. And it's probably not a good thing for Trump.
Well, and I said, you know, I said this on the old shows that, you know, back in 2024, the brand of Trump was cool. It was in fashion. Kids were wearing the hats. They wanted to be cool. Right. Podcasters loved that guy. Like all and the past now year and a half, people are starting to see the cracks are showing. A lot of folks have seen it. But the folks who voted for him are now seeing it affect their wallets, affect their gas tanks, affect the groceries, and they're tired of it. And they, you know, they got sold a bill of goods because the guy came in and said, "I'm going to do all these things." And for some reason, they believed him. Okay. But there's now proof out there that shows that this guy is not what he says he is. And he is a man who, in my opinion, I don't think he should be president, mainly just because of what he says, and specifically to this picture they put out there. He's like, "I was a doctor with the Red Cross." That's not something a normal person says. You say that when you're losing it. So
yeah. Who would have thought ineptness does not govern well? All right. So I think it's time to get to our third story.
Yeah.
Greg, Greg, this is all you, buddy.
It has been announced the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class of 2026 has been released as of last night on American Idol, and that group includes Sade, which, by the way, was the band, not just the woman. That's the name of the group, Sade. Luther Vandross, very cool.
Yeah.
Wu-Tang Clan, love it. Billy Idol, I'm surprised he wasn't in there sooner. Oasis, that might be a first ballot vote right there. This is one I've never seen before. Joy Division and New Order will go in on the same nomination, both bands, because Joy Division eventually became New Order because their lead singer died. Iron Maiden, which is amazing. Oh, yeah. And then finally, and I'm sorry for Dom's mom on this one, but Phil Collins inducted as a solo artist, his second entrance into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Well, I'm happy for you and
me
sad
too.
For Dom's mom, but
I don't disagree.
Billy Idol, he had a couple classic. Is there anyone here you could argue with, Greg? You're a music fan. I love New Order, love Luther Vandross, love Sade, Oasis.
I think it's about the impact, and all of these artists had major impact on their work. You can make an argument for almost all of these against, but when it comes down to it, the people have spoken, and this is what they want. Yeah. Now, really quick, Mariah Carey denied for the third time.
Yeah, and Melissa Etheridge, INXS, The Black Crowes. That's crazy. Maybe we can continue this a little bit in the second hour. It was a great conversation and good stuff. All right, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. We are coming right back after the news with Dr. Donald Chi. Stay safe out there, folks. Watch your TV. Follow the news. Tornadoes are in and around the area, so take precaution. We're coming right back.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. We always love to hear your comments. You can drop them in the text line, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Coming up in the second hour, we're welcoming back to the show Dr. Susan Kearns, who is in charge of the Milwaukee Film Festival beginning this Thursday. And you will get your chance to win an all-access pass to the Milwaukee Film Festival with our Win Your Way into the Milwaukee Film Festival Text to Win contest. That's all in the second hour coming up. And then, of course, we wrap everything up with the nightcap. But now, let us welcome our first guest of the evening. He is a PhD professor of oral health sciences at the University of Washington, Donald Chi, DDS. Welcome to the show this evening. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Great to be here.
Welcome. We are so happy to have you on the program this evening. There is so much to talk about because when we were discussing you being on the show, one of the major things we wanted to talk about was fluoride in our water and the resistance to fluoride, specifically from the Secretary of Health, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. But in one of the articles that you were quoted in CBS News, you know, fluoride is a major conversation that we will have, but the state of dental care in this country has taken a huge nosedive, specifically since COVID. Can you talk more about that?
Absolutely. So I practice in clinic a day a week here in Seattle in a clinic that treats mostly low-income families and children. I'm a pediatric dentist. And one of the things that we saw before the pandemic is that, you know, there was a pretty large unmet need. Lots of kids coming in with cavities, needing, fillings, sometimes root canals and stainless steel crowns. Sometimes, you know, teeth would need to be extracted or removed if the cavities were big enough. And I think what happened with COVID is that, you know, families were stressed. Many of them were at home. Kids were at home all day, had a lot of screen time. Snacking behaviors, I think, just skyrocketed and went through the roof, where sugar intake was just at an all-time high. And at the same time, I think hygiene behaviors just got lost. So a lot of families were just trying to make it through the day. And so I think, you know, toothbrushing didn't happen in the way that it needed to. So I think what happened as a result of the COVID pandemic, and we see this in clinic, is that kids from low-income families who used to come in with pretty substantial, you know, cavities are coming in with just, I mean, really, really just large cavities, lots of unmet need. During that first two and a half years of the pandemic, a lot of, you know, dental clinics were intermittently closed. And so I think a lot of families just weren't thinking about dental care on top of all of this. And I'd say that we're still catching up from the consequences of COVID in clinic, where, you know, I'll still see families in clinic, you know, as of recently, you know, that have said, well, you know, yeah, we're still kind of recovering from COVID, and we're just kind of getting reacquainted with the dental care system.
It's great to have you here, Dr. Chi. And I just want to say I flossed twice before you got here, just to really kind of get ready.
Pete
interview.
Is a show off and suck up. All right, cool.
Just a little boot licking before I ask my question. So I read in an article too that you said you deal with up to six families a day that don't want fluoride treatment. You're a man of science. Dealing with what you hear on the outside, or you have people like RFK Jr. saying that fluoride is bad or whatever. What do you tell those families, and how do you try to get through to them to convince them that they need fluoride, if you even do that or feel comfortable doing that?
Absolutely. You know, Pete, you hit on something at the end of your question there about convincing parents. And I think that that was the approach I used to take. You know, when I first saw fluoride hesitancy in clinic as a resident. So this is a fresh out of dental school. I was a newly minted dentist, learning how to become a pediatric dentist. When I saw families for the first time who would come to me, you know, to have their kids' teeth fixed and cleaned, when families would say no to fluoride, that's immediately where I went to. I immediately went into sell mode of how is it that I could convince families to accept the fluoride. And I think that, you know, the thing that I learned through that approach is that oftentimes I would get a lot of resistance from families. And they don't always have to say, you know, resistance related words for you to feel like there's resistance. And sometimes these interactions would just get really, just really heated, and everyone would end up feeling bad at the end of the appointment. And so what I ended up doing was that I wanted to study this. You know, there had to be a better way than me trying to convince families to accept fluoride. I was studying for a PhD at the same time, so I had done, you know, all the readings of all the studies. I tried to incorporate that into practice, where I would say, hey, look, you know, there was this huge study, and talk to parents about these scientific studies. And for the most part, parents didn't want to hear that. They did not want to hear about the studies. They didn't want to hear about me showing off my scientific knowledge. And what I realized in hindsight is that I think what families want is that they want a provider who listens, you know? And so rather than me go directly into sell mode, what my research has shown me is that I need to step back a little bit. Dentists need to step back a little bit and try to understand where parents are coming from. Why is it that a family is concerned about fluoride? And I think that's the only way a provider is going to get at the root of what's causing that concern. And I think from that point on, then you can make a decision as to what type of conversation you're going to have with the parent. Some parents don't want to talk about fluoride at all. Like they've made their decision. They don't want it for their kids, and that's the end of the story, period. And I have to, as a provider, respect that. You know, I will obviously, you know, provide my professional advice as to whether their child, you know, should be, you know, getting the fluoride that I'm recommending. But some parents don't want to talk about it. Other parents do want to talk about it. And I think the reason why a parent is hesitant about fluoride is really, I think, a good starting point for a conversation that may take place over the course of multiple visits. So maybe not just during the visit today. Maybe this conversation has to happen, you know, every, you know, 6 months for the next year or year and a half for us to get to a point where we can provide the care that's going to lead to the best outcomes for their kids.
I just want to say that must make your job, that must add an element to your job that you didn't anticipate when you went to dental school, having to sell people on science and research. That seems like it would be exhausting.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think, you know, I was trained under the old model, you know, where it's kind of, you know, we call it paternalism in healthcare, where you basically, you know, you tell the patient what to do. They largely go in and do it. There's not a lot of resistance. And then you move on to the next patient. And boy, that's a really convenient, easy way of delivering health information. And it's not like that these days. I think that they're, you know, patients want more dialogue. They want you know, to make sure that their providers are engaging in shared decision making, meaning that it's a dialogue. It's not a one-way conversation. It's a two-way conversation.
I can only imagine the frustration, though. I mean, I'm all for two-way dialogue, and I am very much a person. If a doctor tells me to do something, I consider it. I'm like, this is a doctor, and I usually take the advice. But nowadays, with social media, everyone thinks they're a doctor, or at least thinks that their favorite influencer is somewhat a doctor because they come across as confident with a nice lighting system and million-dollar videos. But before we get further into that, can we take a step back in time and talk about our relationship with fluoride in our water in this country, something they had been doing for a long time? And then, you know, I didn't even know it was there until someone like tried to approach me with a conspiracy theory. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, so for those who don't know, like, what's a brief history of fluoride in our water in this country, at least, that, you know, really kind of set people on a path of saying, you know, getting into rabbit holes of alternate facts, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. So fluoride was first noticed in the early 1900s in Colorado. And so there were certain parts of Colorado where individuals had a stained enamel, or you know, enamel is the outermost surface of teeth. And so dentists were noticing that there were pockets of geographic areas in Colorado where patients were coming in with this staining. And what they realized was that while the staining was, it didn't look good, you know, and so aesthetically it didn't look good, these same patients with this brown staining on their teeth seemed to be resistant to getting cavities. And so even though the staining was there, they didn't seem to be develop cavities as much as individuals who didn't have this staining. So there were a lot of lab studies that were then done. And subsequently, what was discovered was that these areas, there were certain areas in Colorado where the water was naturally fluoridated at a very pretty high level to lead to this brown staining. And what researchers found was that it was fluoride. And so subsequently, you know, lots of lab studies to try to determine, okay, how can we maybe take advantage or harness the powers, the preventive powers of fluoride, but minimize the staining? And that's really where some of the first community-based trials, you know, came into play of trying to figure out what that optimal level of fluoride is. And so for most communities, what that means to get to that optimal level, that means you have to add a very careful amount of fluoride to the water to make sure you don't add too much fluoride. But you want to also make sure you're adding enough to get that preventive effect, or the preventive benefit, to prevent cavities. And that's really how water fluoridation started in this country. And almost from the day that water fluoridation, you know, started in the country, there have been groups in the U.S. that have, you know, called water fluoridation, you know, an attempt at mind control. Lots of conspiracy theories, you know, this is the Soviets trying to take over, you know, the masses.
I knew it.
Of different theories on the actual or the real reason we fluoridate. Yeah. Our water. And really, this was simply, you know, a way to make sure we could prevent tooth decay.
You were just part of a monster outfit trying to steal our children's souls. I don't know. I don't want to laugh, but it's kind of funny too, but not because of where we are in politics. But go ahead, Pete.
Our guest is Dr. Donald Chi, DDS. He is a professor of oral health sciences at the University of Washington. So we've got congressmen trying to introduce bans on fluoride. Dentistry and dental insurance has been cut by the Big Beautiful Bill. I'm trying to follow the money here. How does that benefit, or where does the money, is it just a question of cutting the money out of a budget? It doesn't seem like people can get rich or politicians can get rich cutting fluoride. Like, I don't understand the motivation here, I guess.
Yeah, you know, and that's really, that's a great question, Pete. And I don't know either. You know, it's really hard for me to understand, because something like water fluoridation is beneficial. It's safe. It's effective when done, you know, under supervision, which is the way water is fluoridated in the U.S. Water hygiene specialists have to have, you know, licensing and credentials and continual training to be, you know, adding fluoride to the water. You know, what I think it is that I think a lot of politicians in the U.S. are maybe taking advantage of some of the anxieties that exist in the population. And so part of this, it kind of goes back to our earlier comment about, okay, why is it that individuals are coming in and why are they concerned about fluoride? And I think some of it has to do with empowerment. You know, the internet has democratized knowledge. And so mm-hmm. anyone can go online and look up information on anything. And I think that with that knowledge then, comes the sense of empowerment that they have gained some knowledge. And so then they come into, you know, the dentist's office or the physician's office with maybe some made up minds about what they want to do. Yeah. And in this case, it's fluoride.
Well, we're going to keep this conversation going with Dr. Donald Chi, DDS. He's a PhD professor of oral health sciences at the University of Washington right here on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. You're listening to the Civic Media Network. Stay tuned and stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. Always drop your comments onto our live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. And you can text us via the Civic Media text line on the app or via your phone, 855-752-4842, 855-75-STIVIC. Still ahead, talking to Dr. Susan Kearns about the Milwaukee Film Festival starting this Thursday and your chance to win an all-access pass to that festival. So stay tuned in the second hour. And we're wrapping everything up with the nightcap. But we're talking with Dr. Donald Chi. He's a dentist, a PhD, professor of oral health sciences at the University of Washington. He is our guest this evening. And I want to say the following. I understand that there is, you know, there's no replacing the brushing, the flossing, and all the good everyday things you're supposed to be doing. But with the help that fluoride in water has, if that were to somehow be taken away, that is going to affect a lot of folks who don't have healthcare. Now, again, fluoride in water does not replace those other things, but it's something. And what would you think would happen if those folks who don't have access to health insurance or to dentistry and lose fluoride? I mean, there's going to be a definite shift for those who are, you know, they are vulnerable to those things because of their lack of access to healthcare. What do you think the problem there would be if we all of a sudden just said, fluoride's gone?
Yeah, absolutely. And we have studies to show what happens when communities pull fluoride out of the water is that cavity rates go up. I mean, you know, it takes maybe about 9 to 12 months to see those cavity rates go up. But yeah, cavities will increase. And actually, it's lower income, more socioeconomically vulnerable mm-hmm. Individuals and communities and families that actually will bear the brunt of those cavity increases. And so, you know, if you're wealthy or if you're middle class, you know, you have a lot of protective things in life. You know, you have health insurance that dental offices will take. You tend to eat healthier. You tend to have other sources of fluoride like fluoridated toothpaste that you're using twice a day at home. Mm-hmm. But that's not the case with our lower income populations. And so cavity rates will increase and the poor will get more cavities than others. And that then creates further strain on the dental care system because yeah. that means more cavities. You know, that means more visits to the dentist. And if you can't get to the dentist, that's going to start affecting hospital emergency rooms. So we know that. We know that when you can't get into the dentist for routine care or for emergency care, a lot of individuals end up going to the emergency room, going to hospital emergency rooms where they can't actually fix the problem. So they may give you some painkillers and then tell you to go to the dentist, which then doesn't really solve the problem.
Yeah. Yep.
Dr. Joe Rogan says, no, I'm just kidding. how often, fluoride aside, how often should people see the dentist if they do practice good oral hygiene? And how does good oral hygiene lead to better gut health? Because I've been reading a lot about that lately too.
Yeah, I think in terms of frequency of dental visits, you know, most people go to the dentist every 6 months. Sometimes, you know, some dentists may say, well, you know, come back in every, you know, come back in 12 months or 18 months. Mm-hmm. Some individuals have to come back more often. So we have a lot of really high risk kids, kids who are more prone to getting cavities that we want to see back every 3 or 4 months. So it's all based on risk. You know, if you're at higher risk for tooth decay, dentists tend to want to see you more often. And if you're at lower risk, then you can go a little bit longer between visits. In terms of the links between oral health and gut health, you know, I think the jury is still out. I think maybe primarily because the studies are still being done now. Our group is actually working on a project funded by NIH looking at the links between what happens in the mouth and what happens in the lungs in individuals with cystic fibrosis. And we're actually seeing links between that. So if you have cavities, if you have gingivitis, that you may be more likely to have more severe lung disease as an individual with cystic fibrosis, which again starts to get at this link between what's happening in the mouth and what's happening in other parts of the body.
Wow.
I promise I'll make this connect. I have a lot of tattoos. And one thing in the tattoo world we always say is when you go to get a tattoo, make sure you connect with your tattoo artist. If you're not feeling it, you're not liking it, you don't feel comfortable, don't go. You have every right to leave. There are a lot of folks out there, Dr. Chi, who have not gone to the dentist in a long time. And I will admit, I'm one of those people. I try to practice good oral hygiene, but I don't get to the dentist as much as I should. And what happens, I know for a lot of my friends, is as we don't go, we get more and more afraid of what will happen and also how we may be treated. And a friend of mine went to a dentist after many years of neglect, and they said simply out loud, "We're here to make you feel comfortable and happy, and we will never judge you." What do you say to folks who say to you, "I haven't gone in a long time. I'm very scared"?
Dental fears and anxieties are common. I would say, you know, lots of people are afraid of going to the dentist. You know, you may have had a negative experience going to the dentist as a child. You may have gone to the dentist as an adult and not been treated nicely, you know, in terms of pain control. So you may have had like a root canal and maybe you felt it. Yeah. And that can trigger dental anxiety and fear. So, you know, first thing I'd say is dental fear and anxieties are absolutely normal. The other thing I would say, going off of what you just said, Greg, is shop around. You know, if you're not happy with your dentist, find a dentist that you're comfortable and that you trust. This is really super important. You know, the mouth is a really intimate part of the body. Dental visits can be really uncomfortable. Even, you know, routine visits that are just cleanings and x-rays can be really uncomfortable. And you want to make sure that you trust, you know, the provider that's going to be spending, you know, some minutes in a very private, intimate part of your body.
And I appreciate that. That's something in 2026 I told myself I would do. I'd find a new dentist and I want to go somewhere I feel safe and welcome and not judge for not making it there. So Dr. Donald Chi, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate your time this evening.
Thanks for inviting me.
Dr. Donald Chi is a DDS PhD professor of oral health sciences at the University of Washington. He has been our guest tonight. If you missed any part of the conversation, go to civicmedia.us/shows. Look for Nightlight. You can download the entire conversation and listen anywhere, anytime. Coming up in just a little bit, Dr. Susan Kearns from the Milwaukee Film Festival, your keyword to possibly win a all-access pass to the Film Fest. Plus, we're talking about the question of the night. What's your favorite game show? All right here on Nightlight with Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. I can talk.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.